in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
He keeps on looking out for me. Hey, any witnesses in the house? Jesus keeps, I mean, mama might do her best and daddy might do his best, but Jesus keeps on. I was thinking about Peter sitting down there. And Peter was told by Jesus, you're going to deny me three times. He said, the devil desires to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Peter said, though everybody else turned their back on, I'm going to be right there. When he missed it, Jesus still kept on looking out for Peter, because when he showed up that resurrection morning after Peter denied it, he said, tell my disciples and Peter, meet me in Gap. If that's not looking out, tell me what? When the woman at the well who came to get some water, and Jesus, knowing everything she had done, said, give me some water. And she said, what have the Samaritans to do with the Jews? Jesus said, if you just knew who I was. Listen at this. The Lord Jesus gave her not only spiritual water, but he blessed her and made her a missionary who would tell others. Jesus keeps on looking out for me in spite of all I've done. I don't have to go to the Bible. Just look at you and look at me. He keeps on doing great things, making new ways, blessing us when we don't deserve. He keeps on making a way out of. Turn to somebody and say, he keeps on looking out for me when I can't even see my way. Turn to somebody else and say, he keeps on looking out for me when I can't pay my rent, when my all my money is spent, when my enemies are all around me. He keeps on looking out. When folk put me down, he picks me up. He keeps on looking out. When they try to pick over me, God makes them pick me. That's favor. He keeps on looking out. Ooh, somebody ought to hear me today. Come on, sing it. Looking out. Well, since you're standing on your feet, get your Bibles and remain standing. From the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, on this Youth Day, I'm challenging the young and the young at heart. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, I want to commence reading at verse 19. And it says, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he is come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?' And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Facing Life Difficulties Without Fear, Part 2. Facing Life Difficulties Without Fear, Part 2. My brothers and sisters, I think it is incumbent upon me to share with you, no matter who you are, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be difficulties, there are going to be trials, struggles, tribulations, and many things that will come against the believer to try his or her faith in God. Know that the longer you're on this journey, the closer you get to God, the devil is going to do all he can to distort and to disturb, to interrupt and to interfere with your relationship and your fellowship with God. One of the things that I think is important that you understand, and it is this, that difficulties
are not necessarily difficulties for the person who understands how to deal with them. Difficulties are just like elephants. They are big and massive and cumbersome, but if you know how to deal with them, you can break them down to bite sizes. Mountains can be broken down to mole hills, and major matters can be brought down to minute matters if you know how to disassemble the problematic situation. One of the things that I hope that will happen in this message is to help you to face life's difficulties and deal with them without fear. First of all, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. And fear comes in because of what we see and what we don't believe. Because if we believe what God says, what we see doesn't matter. But when we see and we don't believe what God has said, then fear enters into our heart, and what could be minute then becomes a major mountain in our lives. It is recorded that Israel saw themselves when the 12 spies were sent out by Moses to spy the land of Cana. Israel, the 10 spies out of the 12, saw themselves as grasshoppers. Now, they saw themselves as grasshopper, and the record is that they said, and so they were in their enemies' eyes. May I tell you, it don't matter what your physical stature is, if your faith is small, people will see you as insignificant. And I don't care how small you are, how young you are, if your faith is strong, people will view you as a significant source or person or one to deal with. Look at David's situation. If you read again at the beginning of the 17th chapter in your own reading time, meditative time, I don't have time to deal with all of the verses because they're so numerous, but you will get a better understanding as you take the time and walk through the scriptures. But let me just bring you up to date for those of you who do not know the story. David found himself as Jesse's youngest son, the keeper of his father's sheep, one day in a situation where a battle had broken out between the Philistines, some call them the Philistines or the Philistines, whatever your preference in pronouncing the word is, God bless you, but mine is Philistine. And there was an army against the army of God, which were called the Philistines' army. And in the same reality, there they were, both pitched on a mountain, and there was a valley between the two. And Goliath was about 9 feet and 9 inches tall, according to scripture. And because of this, he said, it doesn't make sense for all of this innocent blood to be shed. Why don't you give me a man who will come out and fight against me, and whoever wins, then the others will be the servants to the winner. But in the midst of this, Goliath cursed the God of heaven, the God of the Israelites, and yet with breathing out these threatenings, he again made small, not just of the army and of the challenge to a man, but to the God of the armies. And David was sent by his father to bring his brothers and the captains some food because they were in a 40-day battle or standoff. Well, when David gets the food and he goes down into the trenches and he delivers the food, he then sees Goliath coming out again as he made his challenges every day. And when the men saw him, they in fear backed up and ran away. And David heard the threatenings that he breathed out against their God. Now, David didn't have a problem with them challenging the men, but when they challenged his God, that got his attention. And listen at this, the brothers who then hear David inquiring about what's going on and wondering why all of these men are afraid of one man, and David, who was a boy at this time, but yet who had a heart for God and did not allow fear to stand in his way, David did some things that I think that we ought to look at, examine, and also follow in our own life's experience happens when we deal with difficulties. All in the scripture, you're going to find the things that I have summed up here so that you can package them and make them portable enough to take out of this sanctuary and apply them to your everyday situation. Listen at what he did. The first thing he did was he sized up the situation. He sized up the situation. Whenever you are facing life's difficulties, what you must do first, instead of run, instead of hide, instead of being afraid and being frozen in your steps and can't move forward and can't move backwards, what you really need to do is size up your situation. Don't just look at what you see, because there's more than what you see at play. So the first thing David did was he looked at the problem. Now let's break down the problem. First thing he needed to know was who was the problem. And he discovered that Goliath was the problem along with the men of God's army. First of all, he needed to see also what was the problem. The problem was that they did not have enough faith in God and enough belief to stand up and fight for God as they had vowed to do as the armies of the living God. Then he looked again and he said, where was the problem? The problem was down in a valley where the decision would be made whether God would reign as the God or the gods, little G-O-D-S, of the Philistines would reign. He looked at the problem and saw, when did the problem exist? It existed when those who opposed God and the things of God came up against those who upheld the things of God and were supposed to be standing up for the rights of God and for the declaration of who God was in the earth realm. But then the last thing was, he wanted to know, why was there a problem since they supposedly were the armies of the living God fighting against the armies of dead gods? See, what you've got to understand is the problem comes many times not in your enemy being able to come against you, but of course because of you being afraid to stand up for what God has called you to do. A lot of times our fear comes when we do not uphold nor adhere to the word, to the will, and to the way of God. So first what he did is he looked the whole situation over completely. Other men became afraid. They started backing up and running. David's looking like, where y'all going? Now he's analyzing the situation and looking it over carefully, and he's looking at Goliath, and the word gets back to Saul that there is a man who's willing to fight. Goliath. But when they bring David, as he was called by Saul, to him, he finds out that he wasn't a man, he was a boy. And I want you to see, because the Bible says this, that David says in verse 33, or Saul rather says to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now listen to what David says. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him it out of his mouth. And he arose against me, and I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Now listen at him now. This is a boy. Look at his faith. Look at how he has sized up the situation. Now imagine a lion. If a lion were to stand up on his hind feet, he would stand over lion feet tall. Depending on the bear, what bear it was in the region of country it may have been, it stood 9 and sometimes up to 10 or more feet tall. David is saying, listen, don't look at what you see on the outside. There's a heart of steel on the inside because of what my God has said. Now listen at this now. He shows him that I'm not used to fighting against man. I'm used to fighting against ferocious beasts who will eat man up. Y'all ain't hearing me yet. Now you worrying about Goliath, and listen at this. How many of you would rather go up against a man than to go up against a lion? How many of you would rather go up against a man rather than going up against a bear? See, well, y'all must not have been to the zoo lately, have you? Maybe y'all hadn't been to a circus to get close enough to see how ferocious they are. Well, I'm here to tell you, if David, listen, went up against them, recovered the sheep, and then when they kept on acting up, he took them out. David's like, man, I'm going to do to that uncircumcised Philistine the same thing I did to that lion and to that bear. Now look at what happens now. Saul, he's a man of war. Saul, the record gives us, is over 7 feet tall, but he's scared. So what he says is, I tell you what, any man that beats this man and kills him, I'm going to give him these riches, I'm going to give him my daughter, and then I'm going to make his family free from taxations, and I'm going to elevate them and exalt them in the community. Yeah. David said, those are fringe benefits. Yeah. Y'all don't understand. I ain't fighting for the stuff. The stuff don't come. I'm fighting for my Lord. Now, I want you to see something else, because after he sizes up the situation, the problem, then what David does is he seeks his source. His source is not in his weaponry. His source is not in his artillery. His source is not in material weapons of warfare. His source is God. Now, my brothers and sisters, when you understand who your source is, then your situation becomes bearable. When you realize who your source is, then your situation does not look as monumental and as great and grand as it appears when you pull into focus your source. If you look at a mountain, and if you stand at the foot of a mountain, Mount Everest, one of the tallest mountains in the world, one of them, and you stand there, you would stand in great awe and amazement at how massive that mountain is. And you would no doubt be in awe at how grand it is. But if you don't stop at the mountaintop, and if you just look at the sky around the mountaintop and recognize that it is far greater and grander than that mountain could ever be, then you begin to realize that the God you serve is greater than, above than the skies and all of the heavenlies, and his power and his ability is what caused that mountain to come in existence. And God is the same God who created everything, and everything that was created was created. There ain't nothing created that he can't handle. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. When you seek your source, because I'm trying to help you understand how to deal with life's difficulties without fear. When we encounter life's difficulties, the reason why we run, the reason why we hide, the reason why we back up, the reason why we freeze up is because we consider the situation more than we do the source. The source. Every mistake I've made in my own life, personally speaking, has been because I looked at the situation more than I did my source.
Amen.
Here's the bad thing about it. After I messed up, the same source that was there before the situation began was the same source that happened, that helped me after I made the mistake. So then I realized, then why then do I have to fear if the source that I am trusting is here before and during the situation and will be there after the situation? It just makes sense that I'd seek my source rather than becoming fearful of what will happen in the situation.
Yes.
Too many believers are powerless.
Amen.
Handicapped.
Yes.
Ruined and brought down to nothing because they are fearful of their situations rather than seeking their source.
Amen.
God's word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he being anything and everything connected with Satan and those who are part of his army.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you. Greater. Great. Do you know what that means? Satan's got some power, but God's got all power. And if that is the case, then I have the greater one and the greater power on the inside of me. And that means if God be for me, then who can be against me if that is a reality? So you seek your source. God is your source. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your peace. He's your power. He's everything you need. He is your source. How many times have you gotten a situation and you did everything you could? And after doing everything you could, you failed. And even when you failed, you finally decide to call on the Lord. And after you tried everything, all your resources gone, all your contacts gone, all of the things that you trusted in were gone. And when there was nothing and nobody else to turn to, you finally remembered, I got a God on my side. And at your lowest ebb and at the worst part of your life, you turned it over to him and he showed you what's too hard for you is just right for him. Are there any witnesses in the house? Has there ever been a time in your life when you were facing life's difficulties and you will admit that you let the look of what was before you become greater than that was around you and in you? Yeah. Listen at this. When he sought his source, he recognized that his source, one, had a plan and two, power. Yeah. Your source always has a plan and two, power to deliver you and to defeat your enemy. I hope y'all are taking note of this because the enemy is going to meet you this week. I said, when you seek your source, God will give you a plan and God will give you power. And it is so to deliver you and to defeat your enemy. That's why when we seek God, God has the plan for us and we don't know how to go in and to come out except God show us. God can reveal to us things about our enemy that we could never discover by espionage. God can reveal some things underneath the skin about our enemy that we could never cause in a show of wits. God can reveal some things and give to us the weakness of our enemies and cause us to triumph over our trials and our tribulations. If we would learn to seek him, God will show us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and why to do it, and cause us to be delivered from anything the devil may capture us in, and then cause us to turn right around and defeat him. It's not just enough to be delivered. You've got to defeat him. And the reason why many of us run into our situations and run back into our situations is because we get deliverance, but we don't get defeat. And so because we don't have defeat, defeat bring us right back in. Y'all gonna catch that on your way. Yeah. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. The next thing that David did was he saw his success. After you seek your source, you ought to see your success. How important is it for you to see your success? It is so vitally important because your success is connected with God's promise. Every success that you will encounter as relates to God's word will be when you attach your faith to what God said. Your success comes because of what God has said and you believe. That's it. David is standing before the king and telling the king, man, I'm not scared of him. I see my success. I see my victory. He had not even begun the battle, and yet he had already viewed his success. Before you ever take one step in trying to be delivered or defeat your enemy, you have got to settle some non-negotiable realities underneath your skin and then cement them there before you even open up your mouth. Here's what you need to know, that there is always going to be adversities and oppositions to the opportunities God gives you to override and to overthrow your enemy. Don't think the devil is going to just lay down and let you walk on him, like a lot of you let him do you. Don't think that the devil is not going to challenge your faith and challenge your authority and challenge the word that you're standing on. Don't you think that just because you go out